The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? In that my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not by myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, and by all means, I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in the race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Even though my Lions are not in the Super Bowl, and I'm still upset about that, I do plan to watch it. Don't plan to watch all the pregame stuff. Just as a sidebar, it's so stupid. They ask a player, what's the key to the game? To score more points than the other side? Really? That's so insightful. Thank you. Should wear a helmet when you play. Now, one thing I do enjoy is when they talk about what do they do with their Super Bowl tickets that they were given to hand out to family and friends. And they say, oh, they have family come out of the woodwork. Like the one in the telephone call ran something like this. Hey, Troy, it's me, Hector. Yeah, you remember me. I'm your second cousin on your mother's side, two or three removed. Don't you remember once we played hopscotch together? Oh, weren't those the greatest of times? He goes, and then I heard you had some tickets to the Super Bowl. They get calls from relatives that they haven't spoken to in years. And then in the end, oh yeah, do you have any tickets for the big game? And most of the players who tell stories like this all admit going to the Super Bowl also means suddenly your circle of family and friends grows exponentially. In our gospel lesson, people came everywhere to see Jesus, not for free tickets to the big game, but for healing. In our gospel lesson, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. He just took her by the hand, lifted her up out of the bed, and then she served the people there. Key expression in the gospel lesson was, the whole city came out to hear Jesus. Of course, this is the time before TV, internet, newspapers. It was just word of mouth. Because Jesus had healed, the entire city knew about it in short order. Now, back to the Super Bowl players. A lot of times they'll say, when somebody says, you got tickets to the game, well, how much is it worth to you? Well, Jesus didn't charge anything for all the healing. But what brought the people to Jesus? Was it only for their physical needs that they came? Or did Jesus have something more to offer them? Yes, meeting needs is important, but there should be more than physical needs being met. People came to see Jesus because they had a sore back, sore knees, or perhaps had a demon. If Jesus stood here in the church today, healing, we'd have this church filled to absolute capacity, and it'd be a jumping place. But is it jumping for the right reasons? It says in our text, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Well, shouldn't there be more than just physical healing? Jesus had a hidden agenda. If he only came to heal, he could have opened up a clinic and just healed day and night. But Jesus healed because he is compassionate and merciful. The best places where Jesus shows his intentions is Mark chapter 2. It's when the four guys bring their friend to be healed by Jesus, and the house is packed with people, and we know the story. They climbed up on the roof, removed the thatch roofing that was there. Since we're going through hiring a roofer, I have great pity for Peter because they wrecked his roof, and now we have to get roofers to figure out how to fix it. But that's a separate story. And then they lowered him down to Jesus to heal him. Very common Sunday school story. And Jesus admitted that they had great faith. Jesus gives the perfect gift. Yes, he physically healed the man, but he also gave him a spiritual gift. Just because we have physical pain, it's proof that we have the sin gene within us. We would experience no pain at all. There would be no sickness if it wasn't for sin inside of us. But Jesus says, child, your sins are forgiven. True healing is not the removal of physical pain, but it's a spiritual healing. True healing is not a temporal fix, but an eternal gift. Our gospel lesson tells us that Jesus got up early in the morning and went off to pray. He told his disciples he wanted to continue preaching. He says, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." He had to get on with his physical healing ministry, but he also had a spiritual healing that he also had to do for the people. The people went with physical problems, broken arm, cancer, perhaps a fix of marriage. But when it doesn't happen in today's world, when Jesus doesn't heal all of our problems or fix all of our relationships, suddenly Jesus gets abandoned. All those symptoms are the effects of sin, and Jesus is the answer to sin. He became sin for you and me that we could become righteous before God the Father. His healings, his feeding of the thousands of people were proof that he was the Messiah. And the greatest proof is that he would die and rise again. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," he was saying that salvation has been accomplished for all people. Jesus' ministry, he had to prepare the people for what would happen after the resurrection and ascension. What life would be like after the resurrection. We have our physical crosses that we bear, but we don't have an eternal cross to bear. Most of the people that came to see Jesus at Peter's house came for physical needs. But why do you come here? Is it to receive healing? Healing for medical issues, perhaps a broken or stressed marriage. And I would hope you would come for deeper spiritual meaning. Jesus wants to say, "Child, I want to give you the greatest gift I have. Greater than the cure for cancer, greater than financial freedom, greater than a trouble-free marriage to the most terrific spouse on the planet, greater than even you are walking again. Those things are mere band-aids put on symptoms. I want to give you the cure for the cause of those things. I want to give you your forgiveness of sins. So consider it given. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen."